We're going to be into Romans 8 today. And I think it's also fitting for us to have a word of prayer for the people that have perished in MH17. And also to remember them. And not just these things for those 298 people. You know, it's not just them. It's now those that will suffer now. And obviously there's some tragic stories that come out of that. And you know, whenever far away, I got a call from Perth yesterday. And that couple... the grandfather who was with his three grandchildren, and the parents were stayed holidaying. They're from Perth, and there's a couple in the church, Anna Skippings, which Anna is Skevy's sister. Their kids go to school with those children, and so you know, it's never far away, but tough to explain. You know, I don't know about you, but I've definitely been thinking about it. And it's for me, because just a couple of weeks ago, or last week, I was at the funeral of my sister-in-law who passed away after 2 years fighting brain cancer. And just being at that funeral, my heart was broken. I mean, last Sunday I had people come up to me and say, "You're okay." I wasn't. I was heartbroken. I realised after, I said, my heart's broken a little bit here, having to see what happened to my sister-in-law. And I've got three nephews, Jared and Brandon's age, and my brother, and talking to him over the last few months, what he's going through, what he's still going through, and what he will go through. And it's tough. And so, and it's good for us to be compassionate, and it's good for us to be empathetic. It's not good for us to think, well, that's them. And you know, we need to feel people's pain and hurt. Amen. It's right for us to do that and feel that. You know, you can try to explain it away all we want, but it's very, very difficult. But I just want to have a word of prayer right now for the victims, the families, at this time. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, I just want to thank you that we can come before you right now. And Father, it is with heavy hearts. You know, we can't just put these things aside, these things that happen. And to try and explain it away is a very difficult thing. Death will come to us all. But we know, Father, we have life in you. And it is that hope, as June mentioned, it is that hope that we have in you. Lord, I do lift up, Father, those who are involved right now. I mean, it's sad what happened to those people, and those there, the people now that have to bear up with what has happened, with this such a loss on such a magnitude. Lord, I know they'll carry them for the rest of their lives. You know, we know people went through wars when we lose people. It never goes away. It never really goes away. We carry it with us. Father, I just pray more than anything else that you give people comfort.
Yes.
That they find comfort in you. And it's an opportunity, Lord, where people turn to you and they find that hope and that comfort. I know, Lord, for my own families, I've been praying about my brother and my nephews, Father. I know that... you know, for us as disciples, if we lose each other, we know we will grieve, but we know, Father, there's that hope that we have. We're going to see each other again. It's based on the truth and the word. And we have that hope deeply buried, Father, in our hearts, and that gives us comfort. But when you don't have that, Father, then it gets tough and it gets challenging. And I just pray somehow through this whole thing, Lord, that you are glorified, that people find that rest and that peace in you. Amen. And again, Father, I pray for our world leaders, that they can find a resolution to this whole thing. That it's tragic what happened, but it's all about... I know I read somewhere yesterday that even the people in Ukraine don't know what the fighting's all about. I mean, it gets crazy. It's egos, Father. It's sin. It's pride. It's arrogance. It's so many different things. It's greed. It's selfishness. It's power. It's deception. So many things on so many different levels. But I pray, Father, through the work of your Spirit, Lord, that you will guide our leaders. Guide the Russian government, the Ukraine government. Guide NATO. Guide those involved. Help them to have conversations that get this resolved so that peace can reign. Father, it's through peace that people can begin to find you in so many ways. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be able to pray to you right now. Thank you for the service. Pray for me, Father. I pray right now as I bring your word, and as limited as I am, Father, I pray that you speak through me, through your Spirit. Yes. To Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We are in Romans chapter 8. And if you haven't been visiting, if you've been visiting, you've been here, you know I've been going through Romans chapter 8. It's your first time. We're going through the book of Romans chapter by chapter. I'm not going to finish the chapter today. I don't think I can do Romans 8 a service to try and do the whole thing in one Sunday, There's just so many great passages here. You know, this is probably one of the most famous chapters. One of my favourite verses. I'm not even going to look at today, but I'm going to read it. You know, in verse 18, Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You know, I just think, oh, I love that passage. It's like, whatever's going on in your life, it doesn't matter compared to what will happen.
Amen.
But we're going through Romans 8. You know, Paul uses a great argument that he uses to show that Christ is Christ, that the law had its purpose, but there's something new. He reveals that there is sin in all of us. And there's nothing special about all of us. There's nothing special with regards to the Jews. And now he gets to Romans 8. And I want to thank Sam. Sam's done a great job. And those who have taught, Peter as well, have done a fantastic job with Romans. And now we get to Romans 8. And I think he begins to take a shift where he starts to now talk about life through the Spirit.
Amen.
That something the law was powerless to do was to give us that true freedom. Because back then they had to sacrifice. If you've read the Old Testament, the sacrifices had to go on to appease, to make do for their sin. Now, through one sacrifice, Christ, we are now set free forever. And that's an awesome thing. You know, I believe today, and I will touch on this, but it's hard to do it justice, so I'm going to encourage you to go away and learn for yourselves the work of the Spirit. Hopefully I can bring some insight to it. But I think, like I said, in the next half an hour or so, I will not do it justice. We all need to understand the work of the Spirit in our lives, and Paul will go into that. So my first point is, I've got a couple of points today. My first point today is sin or spirit? Sin or spirit? So let's read this together in Romans chapter 8. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is dead. Is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raises Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may share also in his glory. And let's stop there. That's our text for this morning. You know, he makes it for me very, very clear that we have this choice. And it's sin or the Spirit. Sin or the Spirit. And what will we decide today? We have choices, choices, choices. But he says, but in Christ we're no longer condemned if we understand and we live by the Spirit. He says in verse 12 that we're therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. But it's no longer to the sinful nature, but to the Spirit. And that obligation, that word for obligation there, is one who owes another. Or we're in debt in some sense. And we are in debt because of what Christ did for us. But the debt now is to live according to the Spirit. And so for me, this lesson's an important lesson because we need to understand the work of the Spirit. And I think that's one thing that for sure is misunderstood. I think we don't understand enough the work of the Spirit, pardon me, in our lives. And today we need to understand that work. Let's turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 for a second. Galatians chapter 5. You know, we can look at the world events of today and say it's a dark world, and there is darkness for sure. But that darkness is really sin. And it really is, at the end of the day, people being controlled by sin. And in Galatians chapter 5, beginning verse 16, it says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." And then he goes on and outlays the acts of the sinful nature. But Paul talks about this battle that's going on. That there's this, in Romans 8, talks about the hostility, that the Spirit is one way with man, but the sinful man is hostile to God. There is that hostility. Here, he talks in some sense of hostility as well. The sinful nature desires what is contrary. They're in conflict with each other. There's a battle going on. And I think if we have the Spirit, we are people of God, we are all people of God, we understand there's that battle. There's that battle of right and wrong. There's half of you that says, "Yeah, I know what I need to do." And there's another half that says, "Yeah, I know that, but man, I'm more attracted to this. I'm more attracted to the dark side, if you like. I'm more attracted to doing evil, but I know somewhere in there that God's pulling me this way." And you feel that battle. Unless you've totally deadened your conscience, you're totally hard-hearted, you will feel that battle raging within you. Now, I think what happens to a lot of us is we get to the point where we fight for so long that the concept of overcoming sin becomes foreign to us. It becomes foreign to us. It's such a fight. It's such a battle. And you may feel like you're never really moving ahead the way you need to. You think, what's the point? But let me say this to you today. If you don't feel like you're in a fight, then you're probably not in the fight. If you don't feel like you're in a fight, then you're probably not in the fight. I think I know that. I know who that was. I can pick the guilt from down here. Alex, put your hand up. That's right, Alex Finn. There you go. You can see it. It's okay, Alex. We need that little moment for a second. And I think, and the reason why I say that is because the Bible here speaks clearly to me that if we are led by the Spirit, we do not gratify. And the Greek word there means to carry out. That we, you know, if we're led by the Spirit, we don't even gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now that's got to be a concept to you. In other words, you won't even want it. And I think the issue for us is we get so focused on sin, on not sinning or trying to deal with it, we forget it. That's not even the issue. That's not even the problem. And yet we make it a focus. Well, if I can just stop doing that, if I can just stop doing that. I think the real issue is that we haven't learned to be led by the Spirit. We're focusing on the wrong thing. We're so focused on the sin aspect of it. The real issue is being led by the Spirit. Now, it does get challenging. Because I think when it comes to sin, And I've been thinking about this. I had a detour with a brother the other day, and it was one of those great times together. But you know, sin is an interesting thing. I equate sin, and it's hard to talk to, some of you will be fine with this, but there's a generation here that don't have a clue. So, but if you remember when you used to put the old LPs on. I know some of you, you know, the old vinyls, okay? The old vinyl, you know, where you stick it on there and you get your little needle and you go put it down nice and gently to play your music, you know. You guys have to try this sometimes, instead of just switching, you know, clicking a little button, scrolling through. You know, the old LP, put it on and then it would work. Now you know if you had a scratched LP, it would skip. It would jump. And then there were LPs that had such a deep groove in them. Once it got in there, it can't get out. It would kind of go in, and kind of, you could hear it go, and it just got slipped back down again. You know, I think for my life, and I equate this to my life, the issues I have with my life, a lot of my life are those grooved LPs. And a grooved LP where something's got so stuck, it tries to come back out, and it just... And I know some of you don't understand the analogy, but you put it in, it goes... It scratches, and it goes to a deep one, it just... You've heard it. You know, goes out, just replays the whole thing. A what? No, I don't want to hear the solutions. You're wrecking my analogy here. This is not about putting coins on top. Whether you got a coin or not. But I think our lives, we get stuck back in. We get caught into the groove. And our sinful nature creates a groove in our brain. And haven't you found you just get drawn back to the same point all the time? And sin does that. It creates these grooves. And I think the Spirit is there to set us free from that.
Amen.
The Spirit is there to fill up the grooves. We no longer have to get drawn back into the same thinking. And I know last year when I went through my anxiety, that's all it was. It was my mind stuck. My mind was stuck on the same thing. When you struggle with anything like that, be it depression, anxiety, it's your mind getting stuck. And sometimes you don't have to go through those things for your mind to get stuck on the wrong things. The wrong faithless thoughts. You get stuck in your marriage. You get stuck how you feel. You get stuck in your faith. And we get stuck. And yet the purpose of the Spirit is that we're set free from all that. That's not in us anymore. See, what happens is, when you get to this point, you know, you think, well, I can't change, so you give up trying. You may say, well, I'm saved by grace. We can't overcome this. God will forgive us. You know, we're just saved by grace. We're saved by grace. And it happens. Churches out there full of people who are just, there's no concept of we can overcome. There's more of a concept, well, that's, we can't overcome. That seems to be obvious because I'm not winning this battle. I'm not getting through this. Things aren't really changing. I'm not really being victorious. So I'm saved by grace. And yet here, when I read Romans 8, that's not what I read. Yes, we're saved by grace. But God gives us a spirit to overcome. Well, we don't have to gratify the desires. It's no longer part of us. And I tell you today, if you're stuck, sin is not your problem. Your problem is a lack of understanding of God's Holy Spirit in you. And you have not tapped into that power. You have not figured it out. If you want to focus on something, focus on that. Because that's where the salvation is. Now, does this mean we become sinless? That's not the point. See, because as soon as you ask that question, what does it tell you? Ask yourself that question. Some of you probably asked it already. Okay, smart aleck. So does that mean we're sinless? Wrong question. Is that the question you think? That's the answer you want to know. That's where you want to go with this discussion. Why entertain that? Why entertain that if the Bible says that we will not gratify the desires of sinful nature? The Bible says you won't be led down that path if you understand the work of the Spirit. And yes, in your weakness as you go on that path, you do stumble. Amen. There's God's grace.
Amen.
Amen. There's God's grace. But surely the point is not to engage in a conversation that says, well, what if we do sin? John 1, 1 John talks about that. But I want to talk about the victory we have through the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It says, you will not gratify. Go back to Romans chapter 8. So he says in verse 12 again, let's read it again. It says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So if by the Spirit we put to death the misdeeds of the body, by the Spirit we will not gratify, or we will not carry out, is that word there. Gratify, carry out. You will not carry out the sinful nature. So we need to understand the Spirit. Some verses on the Spirit here. Romans 8:14, we just read it. We're led by the Spirit. Galatians 5:18 says the same thing. We're led by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, we just read it. We live by the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, we're renewed. There is a renewal that takes by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And through the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 for a second, back there again. I should have told you to keep your hand there. And this will be my second point. Let's pick it up in verse 19, put it in context. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. And he says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And so my second point this morning, we make the choice, sin or Spirit. Hopefully we decide in this room we want to live by the Spirit.
Amen.
My second point is dancing with the Spirit. He talks about here about keeping in step with the Spirit. I guess I could almost also name this point, so you think you can dance. And the truth is, some of you may be good at dancing the sinful nature tune, the sinful nature dance. But what we like dancing with the Spirit. Easy to dance. Let me tell you now, there's some people that have some pretty full-on moves when it comes to the sinful nature.
Come on, mate.
Pretty evil. Horrible moves. But what about dancing with the Spirit? I love this analogy of keeping in step with the Spirit. And I think of dancing because, for me, you know, if you're going to keep in step with the Spirit, it's kind of like the Spirit's leading and you have to learn to, you know, keep in step with. I mean, in my young day, my disco days, I saw myself as a bit of a dancer.
Come on.
Used to wear my tight white pants. I don't know I don't want to invoke too many images, but I had a few. John, you know. I could give you a little bit of a spin, but you know. I had my Johnny Travolta moves. I never saw myself as a bit of a Fonzie. Remember Fonzie? Happy Days?
Yeah.
His dancing was... Anyway, enough on the dancing stuff, but I know that when I see people, when I see the pros dance, you see those professional ballroom dancers, you know, and they're just the timing and they're in step, it looks incredible. It looks amazing. And you know, when it comes to the Spirit's leading us. You better believe it's got some moves.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. The Spirit's got some moves that it wants you to follow. And man, that may be tricky, but man, when you pull them off with the Spirit, to me, it's more spectacular than anything that'd be done on a ballroom dancing floor. You know, I mean, when you read the Old Testament, when you read the book of Acts, when you read, they were works of the Spirit.
Yep.
These guys were led by the Spirit, and what moves? These guys did incredible things that are led by the Spirit. And yes, some of them were put to death. God allowed it to happen. The Spirit allowed it to happen. Acts chapter 7, Stephen was martyred. God knew it. He designed it. It wasn't an issue. Stephen's there in Acts chapter 7. He says, hey, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. What a move!
Come on.
That was tough for him. He was just stoned to death. But let me tell you now, what a move!
That's right.
It transformed Jerusalem. It transformed the disciples, and they were scattered to the four corners of the world. See, I think when we're led by the Spirit, God wants to do some moves with you.
Come on.
God really wants to do some moves with you. I'm not a dancer, by the way. If I showed you some videos of my dancing days, they'd be very comical right now. And I don't really even care about that so much. But what I do care about is I want to be in step with the Spirit.
Amen.
And more importantly, I want to understand what that means.
Yep.
If I'm going to dance with the Spirit, and I like the analogy of dancing because keeping with step is the same thing for me, then I want to know. Because that's the partner I want to be partnered with.
Yep.
I want to be partnered with the Spirit.
Amen.
I don't want to know moves of the sinful nature. We're all good at that. I can tell you a list of things I did with the sinful nature, the moves I made, the things I did, how I danced with my sinful nature. It wasn't pleasant. It was ugly. And that's what the Bible's talking about here. If you live by the Spirit, if you keep in step with the Spirit, you'll put to death the misdeeds. You won't even gratify it. You won't even go there. It won't even be an issue. And if it is, learn the Spirit.
Yep.
I think we're going to have to say soon, please turn your mobile phone or your device off. You know, I think about the Spirit, you know, it's harmony and unity in motion. We need to know the Spirit's will.
Yep.
The question is, and I think this is where we fall down, the whole Spirit concept is almost mystical. We have this, it has a mystery about it. It's not this mystical thing. I think we don't even think this way. So we're trying to control our thoughts, you know, we're trying to make sure we don't sin, we're working so hard, and the Spirit's nowhere really to be seen.
Yeah.
We haven't even figured it out. And so today I would encourage you to walk away from here and figure out the Holy Spirit working in your life and how you're going to dance, how you're going to keep in step with the Spirit.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about a couple of things here just in a minute. See, how do you know? How do you know it's the Holy Spirit? Because lots of people have said, well, God told me.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
Or the Spirit told me. Or this or that. And we know for sure that there are deceiving spirits.
Yes.
There's your own sinful nature. Jeremiah 17:9, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So our own hearts deceive us. And there are deceiving spirits out there. Well, one thing for sure, how do you know it's the Holy Spirit? You test it with the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's right.
Number one, you test it with the Word of God. I am amazed. I am amazed. How many people will tell you flat out, God says this, God this, God told me this, God this, God this. Well, where does this, where is that in the Bible? Oh, I don't know the Bible. I just know that's what God's telling me. You get it all the time.
That's right.
First point is, you test it with the Word. You know, where is it taking you? Or where is it leading you? In Luke 2:27, Jesus, when he was a young boy, was moved by the Spirit to go into the temple. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. You have to figure it out. Hey, this Spirit, this thing that's in me, that's leading me, where is it exactly taking me? Where is it really taking me? Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 18 for a second. I'm going to run out of time here, unfortunately. I've already run out of time, unfortunately. I'm going to have to fly through this last part. I've been reading 2 Chronicles. I tell you, I've loved 2 Chronicles chapter 18. It is in the Bible, by the way, if you're not sure. But 2 Chronicles, I've just loved reading Chronicles. I love these kings. There's so many great examples and God working and really has moved my heart. This is an interesting story. And Micaiah, or Micah, prophesies against Ahab. Ahab was the king of Israel at the time, and Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. Now, Ahab wants Jehoshaphat to go into war with him. Anyway, let's pick up in verse 5. It says, so the king of Israel brought together the prophets, 400 men, and asked them, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? Go, they answered, for God will give it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat asked, is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, there is still one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Okay, buddy, why do you hate him? What's he done to you? So it's amazing it's actually written there, isn't it? I hate him! Because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micah, son of Jordana. No. Micah, you're going to be a prophet. You're going to be a prophet one day, Micah. Depends. Depends on what? There, Micaiah, son of Imlah. The king should not say that, Jehoshaphat replied. So the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, "Bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, at once." Dressed in their royal robes, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor by the entrance of the gate of Samaria, with all the prophets prophesying before them. Now Zedekiah, son of Kenatha, had made iron horns, and he declared, "This is what the Lord says, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed." All of the other prophets were prophesying the same thing. Attack Ramoth Gilead and be victorious, they said, for the Lord will give it into the king's hand. The messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, "Look, as one man, the other prophets are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what my God says." When he arrived, the king asked him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain?" "Attack and be victorious," he answered, "for they will be given into your hand." The king said to him, "How many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Then Micaiah answered, "I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These people have no master. Let each one go home in peace.'" The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad?" Micaiah continued, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. with all the host of heaven standing on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death? One suggested this and another that. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. By what means, the Lord asked. I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets, he said. You will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go and do it. So now the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster for you. Then Zedekiah, son of Kenaiah, went up and slapped Micaiah in the face. Which way did the spirit from the Lord go when he went from me to speak to you? He asked. Micaiah replied, you will find out on the day you go and hide in an inner room. The king of Israel then ordered, take Micaiah and send him back to Ammon, the ruler of the city, and to Joash the king's son, and say, this is what the king says. Put this fellow in prison and give him nothing but bread and water until I return safely. Micaiah declared, if you ever return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me. Then he added, mark my words, all you people. Now I read that to you for one reason only, to show to you that there are deceiving, lying spirits. And we can discuss this passage and how it all works. You just need to know that sometimes what you think may be the work of the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily mean it is. And you have to test that. And like I said, the first thing is you test it by the word. The second thing you do is you ask yourself, where is this spirit taking me? Where is this spirit taking me? Because I think that's really important to understand where the spirit. So I'm pushing buttons. I've lost my way here. I've dropped my papers, sorry. I'm hitting buttons. How do I get rid of this? Delete? Thank you. If I delete the whole song.
Come on, mate.
So I think it's important to understand where the Spirit is taking us. And I think there are some great examples of that. And I think you see it today in the world. Let me just find my notes here for a second. Gee, I really have lost my notes here today, haven't I? One thing for sure, what I see happening is when it comes to morality. When you think about morality, people say, but I love them. We're in love. And therefore, it's okay. It's okay that we're having sex. It's okay. Well, yeah, we're not married, but it doesn't matter. And I'll feel good about it. But is that really the spirit? Or is that something else? Is that a deceiving spirit? Is that your own spirit telling you because you want to do these things? We need to understand these things. We understand where we're being led. And there's marriage, there's morality, who you should marry. You know, what does the Bible say about who you should marry? Well, to me, you should marry a disciple.
That's right.
Oh, but they believe in God. Isn't that good enough? Well, no, I think you want to marry someone who's a disciple.
Yep.
Or maybe I can save them. No. No, the Bible says that's not the way. Wrong answer. And we get deceived over and over again. Confession. Just simply being open with our lives. What's really going on in our lives? Well, I just confess to God. Deceiving spirit. What does the Bible say? Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other.
Yes.
It's your sinful nature wants you to conceal things, doesn't it? Your sinful nature doesn't want you to be open. But the Spirit of God wants you to do what? If you're going to be led by the Spirit, it will lead you to being open about what's really going on in your life, in your marriage. Don't hide things. That's not the work of the Holy Spirit. Commitment. Being committed to each other. Being focused and devoted to each other. I don't need God. I don't need people. I just need God. God's all I need. God will supply everything I need. Sorry, deceiving spirit. The Bible's pretty clear what it means. We need each other. We need the fellowship. I can't survive without you. You may be able to survive without me, but I can't survive without you.
Come on, mate.
But we need each other. You know, giving, discipleship, evangelism, sharing our faith. I don't have the gift. I hear this all the time. I don't have the gift. No one's open. Australia's a godless nation. Not the work of the Spirit. That's not, you're not being led by the Spirit if you're being told that or you're thinking that and you actually begin to believe that. That's not the Spirit. The Spirit is bold, courageous. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. That's the work of the Spirit. You know, I've just touched on a few things today. But hopefully I've stimulated you to think, you know what? I've got to get more connected with the Spirit.
Come on.
You know, I'm struggling. You know, you hear brothers with pornography and all sorts of sin, our selfishness, our greed, whatever's going on in your life, whatever is got you like this, whatever has got you in a groove that you seem to, as soon as you try and come out of it, pulls you back. Things you gratify. Maybe it's time to say, you know what, I'm not learning to live by the Spirit. Hopefully we become a people who understand the Spirit better and learn to be led and to live by the Spirit. Let's take these things to heart today. Let's talk about these things. Let's study these things out so we can truly become a people led by God's Spirit. Amen.
Amen.